This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory.
And I'm ZD.
I didn't say my last name.
We're both Donahues.
Well, today we are going to talk about some boat sewing that ZD's been doing.
Yeah.
Now that she's finished eating her potato chip breakfast.
I know. This is terrible. Every morning I've had this like really healthy breakfast. And well.
Hey, it's a vegetable. ZD's all like, I eat a vegetable every meal.
With every meal, I eat a vegetable. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
This morning it was
potato chips. So.
And onions. There's onions in there, too, I think, or onions.
Oh,
something.
Yeah. There's, like, onion powder. Yeah, some garlic powder. Garlic and fire-roasted garlic and onion.
Yeah.
Kettle-cooked potato chips. Those do sound good. Hey,
look, non-GMO.
There you go. They're verified. Okay. So, ZD is going to tell us a little bit about the boat sewing and then the wonderful pictures she sent me on vacation. Wasn't I on vacation or was I back?
That was when I was doing embroidery.
When you were doing the embroidery. Yeah. Okay. Well,
so I don't know if I'll talk about that on this podcast or not. But.
I thought we were talking about that. What we think that.
Well,
this
that. Is... Oh, well, I don't know if that was from the V-Bird song. I don't know what that was from. I discovered it during embroidery.
Right. So let's just talk about your embroidery project that you did.
All right. Let's
and then
do that.
Get into that.
Okay. So my husband and I have these, you know, what are they called? They don't call them life jackets.
Yeah, it's
they call them personal
flotation device.
PFD.
PFD. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we have are these it's a very skinny like collar vest. It's like almost just a collar. And then what makes it a vest is the strapping that goes across the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really buoyant. It has a CO2 cartridge in it, and if you
pull the ripcord,
you can pull it to inflate it. You also can set it for a sensor. There's a sensor in there where, like, if you fall,
You
fall in the water and it gets wet, it blows up. Well, we don't do that because we wear them on the paddle boards.
Yeah.
So in Missouri and many other states,
mm-hmm.
your paddle board is considered a vessel like a boat. Some places they have to be licensed.
Oh yeah, like a real.
Yeah, you know, actually, just like a boat or whatever. But in Missouri, they do not have to be licensed.
How cool that the regulations on paddleboards.
Right, but it is required that you wear a flotation device like this that inflates or you can inflate, or you wear a more traditional life jacket. Now, this is weird. If you have the life jacket, you can just keep it under your shock cord on your board.
Yeah, it just has to be on the vessel.
Right. But if you have one of these that is a pull the...
Oh, okay.
You have to be wearing it.
Makes sense.
Okay. Well, we had one of these, okay? Mm-hmm. We had one, and I started wearing it. My husband was wearing like a belt configuration one, a fanny pack. I know that fanny pack means different things in different
flotation fanny
places.
Pack.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, it was the pull cord thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So I had this one on and I wore it one day, and I was like, and then I realized I continued to wear it and forgot to take it off after I was on the paddleboard. And it's that comfortable.
Right.
And it's not hot. You know, there's nothing like that encumbers you like under your arms or all this, whatever. So for Christmas, one of the marine supply companies had a deal, like a 2-for-1.
Uh-huh.
So, and they're, you know, they're fairly expensive. They're like $100 or more.
Right.
You know, they start at like $100. And this was two of these for $100. Now, they were exactly the same. You only had one choice, and it was this sort of gray, you know, just plain gray, and it had some chartreuse lettering on it, right? So I got those for Christmas for us. And, you know, they've been wonderful. The problem is they look exactly alike.
And you and Jerry are very different sizes.
The only thing that was, okay, we have like the same size
chest.
Well,
true, true, but you're okay? Different heights, yeah.
But like our waist, okay, mm-hmm. So my waist happens to be smaller. Not by much. But so you can't just like pick one up and put it on. We were like putting one on and going, oh, this isn't mine, and taking it off,
yeah,
or whatever, you know, or trying to put it in a spot where we, you know, knew we left it, or like, you know, this is the home for this one. And this, but it didn't work,
right?
You know, because we would take them off and throw them down or whatever, because we were having too much fun to worry about stuff like that. So he's like, I think we need something where we can figure this out or something, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I think, you know, I could like embroider our names on the collar or something like this, so that, you know, we can just pick them right up and whatever. And then when I was watching my sailing Uma.
Yeah, your Uma sailing person.
They had the same issue, sort of. And this was their, what they call their wet clothes, like when it storms,
yeah,
and stuff, you know. And it was their slickers. And they had basically that on the between the shoulders on their slickers, they had their initial, uh-huh, like a big initial, you know.
She, well, had an embroidery machine on her boat.
I don't know how it was. I couldn't tell, like, how it was put on. Like, if it was, you know, just, like, drawn on or, you know. Because,
right,
I thought about that. I could magic marker the sucker, sure, if I wanted, you know. I mean, there was a lot of different ways I
you
thought.
You know what we don't have yet is, like, a vinyl cutter.
Right, I know.
You know.
I know.
You
and
know.
I think about one a lot.
Yes.
So anyway, I mean, I thought about a lot of things. Like, I thought about just putting, like, maybe a charm of some sort,
mm-hmm,
you know, at the collar or a button. And then I thought, actually, I only have to mark one. I
true.
Could leave one unmarked and have one marked, you
true.
Know, whatever. Just so you could, you know, somehow recognize one.
But what's the
from
fun in
the
that?
Other. Well, right, you know. And then I got, like, scared because I was like, well, I don't want to screw them up. They're rather expensive.
Sure.
I don't want them to look stupid, you know, or whatever. And it's funny because they pull apart. Like, they Velcro apart,
oh, okay,
the whole thing, okay? And, you know, this thing that blows up inside looks like the thing you get on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
The vest sort of that goes around your neck, you know.
Right.
That they say, pull this cord to inflate or whatever. Except that it's covered by, you know, this nylon for these. I don't know. I guess just to protect the plastic inflatable,
yeah,
part,
yeah,
mostly. So, because after you inflate it, you have to take it apart, you know, take the little canister out, put a new canister in.
Oh, so
then refold this plastic back into that.
I was wondering if they were a single use.
No.
Thing or not.
Just the cartridge.
Okay, well, that's cool.
So once you blow it, you know.
Because there are things like that are single use, am I right? Like, I seem to remember.
I would imagine that the ones on the airlines are.
Well, sure.
You know. And in fact, this one I think you could also blow up with your mouth.
Yeah, you could, like.
Okay, just like, yeah, you know, on an airline. So anyway, you know, what happened is I kept bringing these back and forth from the lake and I would never put anything on. I thought maybe I should just, like, take an embroidery floss, you know, and put an X on one or something like that, or, you know, magic marker underneath or what. But anyway, I finally decided, ooh, there's these, like, you know, 1.5-inch straps that make the back of it. They're big nylon.
Like a webbing.
Webbing straps, you know. I can put a name or an initial or something on that with the embroidery machine. It probably will fit under there real easy, you know, whatever. So anyway, and I'm like, oh, what color? And I thought the colors really should be different for each one because that's part of the recognition is,
yeah, right,
what color do
easy,
I see, you
easy
know,
peasy,
whatever. Well, the chartreuse being on, you know, the front, I picked that same neon chartreuse for Jerry's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these straps make a V.
Yeah.
So on, you know, the one, you know, if you're facing the back of it, the one on the left, just as you would read, I put a J, and on the right, I put a D, right?
Uh-huh.
In that chartreuse. And I used with his, like, more like the military, like the stencil look font.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, when you stamp
right.
fragile or explosive. Right. Well,
and they do that in military too. A lot of times they'll use that sort of thing, you know. But anyway, so they look really cool, you know. And I did it, you know, worked out. Except when I started to stitch this, okay, we had not embroidered for a while. And Mallory and I, you know, both use the same equipment. We might not be using the same piece, you know, sure. The same one at the same time or whatever. And I go to stitch this J, right? And I wind up, honestly, with a dot. Like, it didn't move. Okay, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what has happened?
Wait, yeah. So your machine wouldn't move.
Right, so the embroidery arm, you know, somehow it wasn't moving freely.
Yeah, so were you just like, I'll just let it keep going, or did you push the stop button?
I did, hit the stop button.
Okay, yeah.
But it was just kind of like a big dot, like on, you know, what, and, you know, I kept... And that is how the letter kind of starts out.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
On, like on the hook of stitching. The J, right? And then I'm like, no, it's not moving. So I hit it. And then, of course, it was bound up underneath, you know, to the bobbin thread. And I had to get out, you know, I got out a dental pick and I got out a razor blade and I had to cut like this thread from underneath, right? And then I turn it over and I look at the bottom of the embroidery. And there literally is a round wad ball of lint. I mean, it was a ball. It looked like someone had felted. And I guess it did get felted.
Like, did someone, I don't know, sew some carpet on this machine or something?
I don't know who would do that.
Who is sewing carpet?
I don't know who would do that.
On the machine. I don't know.
I don't know. Or like cushions for a boat or something. I don't know who would
do
that.
She sends me this picture. And... You know, of like all this lint. She's like, look at all this lint. And I'm...
No, I didn't. I didn't say anything. I just sent
Bull,
the picture,
I will look at the text.
I didn't say anything about lint.
You didn't say anything about lint because it was a picture of lint.
Yeah.
Like found... You said, our destiny.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yes. So not our destiny like in life. It's our destiny machine.
You sent it on Friday at... 8:18, and okay. I was on vacation.
You were.
And then on Saturday at 9:08, our destiny, no period. Did you see this? And I'm like, yeah, what am I supposed to do? Come home and clean the machine? I'm in like Maine, you know?
You're supposed to say something like, oh my God, we're awful. We need to clean our machines more often.
No,
you're just supposed to recognize it.
I said, yeah, I haven't been sewing.
I think it looked like that denim stuff you were sewing on.
It looks like some upholstery lint to me, is what I said.
How would you know what lint it was? I'm pretty much sure that we're both equally guilty.
An in-depth glimpse into...
When's the last time you cleaned
the
machine?
Passive-aggressive... Well, you know, it's probably sometime when I posted a video of it, which would have been, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, you
right,
know?
That's what I mean. So we haven't done anything.
Who's been sewing the carpet?
I don't know what carpet you're talking about, really.
The carpet you've been cutting with the rotary cutter. Have you only been cutting it?
Yeah,
you've
I don't
sewing
sew it.
It. Okay. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So.
I was spreading it out equally,
sure.
Thinking, look what we did. I was sort of like in the mindset of it was the pandemic. We were just
you
like
didn't communicate that. Okay.
I just think message. what it is like. The whole last 18 months have been a blur.
Well, no, and actually what I, you know, then
right?
What we...
Right, so you've gotten out of routines and
then
things.
Then what we started talking about is I was actually getting ready to get our machine serviced at the beginning of the pandemic.
That's right.
Convenient, eh, Mal? No, I swear. And then it was the time of like, okay, are we like actually doing curbside? Or, you know, can I just put these machines in the back of my car? And, I'm all about the curbside stuff.
For the rest of your life.
Actually,
yeah.
Like, I know, I have the perspective of we've run a retail store.
You think you
right?
have perspective. Okay.
I have a perspective.
We've established that. You have perspective.
A perspective from a retail point. When you get someone in your store, you have the opportunity to sell them things.
That's
okay?
True.
So I understand that me, like, just backing my car up and having a tech take the machines out of my trunk doesn't offer the retailer the opportunity to like sell me some needles or another machine. And so I understand that that's not great for the retailer.
Right.
But also maybe it is kind of good for the retailer because sometimes it is good to just Like, you just need your
machines
serviced.
Sometimes you spend a lot of time on people checking in their machine that, and you're busy.
Yeah.
You know, you, I mean, and you know that it's not going to be an opportunity.
Yeah, so sometimes I, yeah, the curbside, I think it's got its place for
right.
sure. So
maybe
anyway,
you should have to qualify for
before.
Curbside. Like, you know, you fill out a questionnaire and
right.
then you go, oh, yeah, just like you qualify to adopt
or,
a dog, right?
As a retailer, you can be like, would you like me to bring you out some needles when I pick
right.
up your machine?
There
Is
you
there
go.
Anything else you need?
There
we can
you
put
go.
It together for you and have it ready when you get here.
Sounds
okay,
good.
So, but yeah, I love curbside. For a lot of reasons, especially if you're driving around with some kids and some car seats.
Especially
I
that.
Remember people being like running in the store and be like, can you come get my machine? Because I have kids in the car seats. Like, yeah, like mm-hmm. who wants to bring in the car seats and the 40-pound machine?
Right.
And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I was trying to get the machine serviced. And we clean our own machines. We probably don't get them serviced as much as we like professionally, like we tell you to do, because we feel like we can
well,
get in our machines
deeper. Well, we also
deeper.
Know how to take them apart.
Yeah,
right.
we can get in there more. So it was like I felt comfortable that it had been more than a year,
right.
but we should. It's a good idea to get them all professionally serviced sometime soon. But yeah, so ZD tried to start embroidering these
but this
straps.
Was, I mean, this was a riot. This was a ball.
You know, I've never really had that
it
happen before.
It was like a perfect ball, and it was encapsulated. You know,
so it hit
in the bobbin
in the
thread.
Stitching, yeah.
Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so bizarre, you know, and I'm like doing surgery on this, and I can't believe I didn't take pictures, but I was so enthralled. I'm like doing surgery, you know, to take this embroidery out. And then I'm like, okay, gotta take this sucker apart, you know.
Right.
And of course, it took, you know, one thing off, and I'm like, no, gonna have to take some more
off. Some more
you
stuff
know, yeah,
off.
Gonna have to go deeper.
But
oh my God.
Was it a little satisfying?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I mean, if anybody out there likes to
pop
pimples, it's the
like
same thing. Like you're
machines.
Pulling the stuff. So I did use like a dental pick because it was like coming out. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a mess. And then, of course, I got in there with a
Q-tip or?
Yeah, a Q-tip.
Uh huh.
And, you know, cotton swab, whatever you want to call it, and got in there and really, you know, you can twirl those suckers and get so much
it
out.
It is.
It's just amazing.
It's like making cotton candy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. It's just like amazing.
Well, let's take a quick break and come back and talk about the process for embroidering them.
Sure.
After you got over the traumatic lint
It wasn't traumatic. I thought it was sort of comical. You were on vacation and you took it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And we're back. So actually, I mean, definitely the machine needed to be cleaned out. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, of course. But let's talk a little bit about what you were using to do this. Let's talk about, you know, I don't know if we've
you
ever.
You mean what I was doing to embroider?
Have we not done a podcast on, like, embroidering on a strap?
Yeah, I think we may. I don't know if we have or not. We've definitely done a broadcast on, like, what I used to do it.
We might have a video on doing straps. We got really into this, actually.
We were doing keychains.
And my sister-in-law, I embroidered one for her. It's got, like, her initials on it, and it's on this sparkly webbing. And it is disgusting. I really need to make her a new one. Every time she comes around, her keys, she loves it, you know. But I'm like, oh, man, it's aged.
We made, like, one for Hillary, one of my other daughters. And then she's like, so Josh needs one that says this. Because they have, like, all these sets of keys for school and home.
I remember sharing about this because we were like, we're not going to do gifts for Christmas. But then Hillary's like, so for Christmas, can you make me, like, 16 key fobs for all of my different keys? And I was like, so is this a Christmas gift? Like,
but it, you know, like, we color coded them so they knew which ones to pick up, and so one was a set of keys for Josh's school, and one of us set of keys for her school, and then their car keys, and it was just, you know, all these keys.
So when you embroider on webbing, whether it's on a life jacket or whether it's just like some loose webbing or something,
a strap on a purse, often
a
something like that,
collar.
A dog collar.
You know, if it's attached to something, like a life jacket, or it's got a buckle on it because it's, a dog collar you bought or something, you need to really be careful that how you prep your project, you're keeping that out of the way of your needle.
Well, I had the issue of, was I going to pull the cord?
Oh, you want to make sure your life jacket doesn't inflate?
Yeah, because I thought, wouldn't this be great? I'm going, you know, but I did have sort of like a cartoon of that in my head.
That would be something that someone would bring a machine in and be like, so I was trying to embroider a life jacket and the CO2 cartridge exploded. And
but I thought, because
oh my God.
When I put this jacket on,
yeah,
the buckle, I think, is a little bit too close to the ripcord handle, you know? And it's orange. So what? I can't see it. It's like below my boobs.
Right.
Okay. You know, now it does feel different. But I'm always afraid that, you know, I'm going to go to buckle and I'm going to pull that handle instead of the female part of the buckle, you know?
You know, it reminds me of you don't watch kid movies as much as I do, but like the part in Finding Nemo where the pufferfish just goes foom and like pops up.
right.
So you have to make sure that those things stay out of place. And then also if you're doing something adjustable, you kind of have to figure out, okay, you know, you need to mark because the placement for you and Jerry
you need
is different
to make
on the
sure,
strap.
You need to make sure that you have. Now, I was lucky because this was on the non-adjustable place.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I put it up. It's like at the scapula.
Right.
Okay. And that part is stable. The adjustable part is down below.
So you may have those slidey things. You may have buckles.
Right.
Got to keep those out of the way. Okay.
Or
it
overlaps.
I have
somehow.
A scapula tangent.
Oh no.
I have to. People will think this is funny.
This was Jum's scapula.
This is Jum. Yeah. Jerome. We call him Jum. Jerome discovered his scapula. So our kid, like, Zelda wears clothes all the time. She wears, like, lots of clothes to bed, like shirt, pants, underwear, socks, everything.
Right.
And then Jerome decides he wants to just start sleeping in underwear, which is, like, totally cool.
With no shirt.
Yeah.
He's shirtless.
With no shirt. Like, he's just sleeping in some, you know, tidy-whitey things. And so he moved his arm in such a way that his scapula pointed out. And he was like, "Mama, what is this?" I was like, "Well, that's your scapula. It's part of your body." And he's like touching it and moving, and he looks very distraught. He's like, "I don't like it." He just did not like the you can make it kind of wing out, you know. And he still catch him like doing it and touching his scapula every once in a while, and it just cracks me up that he
did
that.
Tell me though, like the next day or something, I have a scapula. Yeah, I said, "Yeah, you have two."
I don't like it. I'm sorry, I can't make it go away. I don't know what to tell you. It's kind of important. Okay, so that's my scapula story. Anyway, you want to keep all that stuff out of the way, and you. Also, well, you shouldn't hoop this.
I did not. Well, one reason you don't hoop any kind of strap
right.
is because if you hoop it, you are actually sort of making a spacer in your hoop because
it's
you're
too
not
thick.
Hooping.
Yeah.
Well, you're not hooping the whole thing. Yeah. You're only hooping, you know, this point and this point. You aren't getting a full hoop
so
out of it.
So it'd be like really unevenly.
And it won't hold well.
No.
It won't hold well.
You have a really high likelihood of slippage.
Absolutely.
There. So
even if you don't have a ball of lint underneath.
That's right.
Yes.
It could have been worse if you tried to hoop it. I bet like it would have like popped out of place.
I'm sure I would have ruined the machine. Absolutely.
So you hooped some sticky stabilizer.
I did.
Sticky tearaway.
And I hooped because I was looking for the kind you wet.
Oh.
Couldn't find it.
I don't know if we own it because I don't like it.
Okay.
We may not like it. Oh, you like it?
I do. Because I don't wet the whole thing. I just wet certain points.
I'll look. But what if you had gotten your CO2 cartridge wet and
No, I had that off. I had the sensor off.
I'm kidding.
Yes. So anyway, but that's a point. That is a point.
It's
if
a
you
point.
Had the sensor on
it's
and you sprayed like water around it, what would happen?
Yeah, what would happen?
So anyway, no, I used the sticky, which we sometimes describe as like contact type paper or fly paper-ish or whatever, where it has a wax paper that covers the surface and that you have to peel back. And when you peel it back, it's, you know, this all just contact sticky surface.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So what I do is I hoop that stabilizer wax paper side up.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't tear it off beforehand.
Yeah, so we've talked about this in another podcast
right.
that some people like hoop up their stuff and stick it under,
right.
like, unstick the whole thing.
Right.
So there's different techniques, but that's not what we do.
So I hoop it while it's both pieces are intact. And then, okay, I couldn't believe I did this right the first time because I hadn't done this. You know, there's a technique in scoring.
Yeah.
That wax paper on uh-huh. top. And I was just so impressed that I made a big X score sort of in the middle. And I could just peel what I was like,
I'm
oh my gosh. Despite all the garbage that I had in my machine and didn't follow my advice.
Well, this was before you got to the garbage though, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But I was still impressed with
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you can lay the strap. So, you know, you attach all of that to your machine,
mm-hmm.
the hoop and everything. So you have a hoop with the stabilizer in it, and I don't even peel it back until it's really in the machine. I might start it.
Oh, I do.
I just start it, and then that way I don't get it dirty or use up any of the sticky or anything.
So I peel it all the way off so that I can lay the stabilizer down on my grid, and then... Like, lay the hoop down on my gridded cutting table
mm-hmm.
and then align my webbing. So you, like, align your thing while it's in the machine?
Yep. And I eyeball it. Like, I just, like, go, oh, that's about right like that.
Now, okay.
I have already marked my webbing. I've already marked my webbing with a chalk mark of the lower edge where I want my you know, embroidery right.
Right.
And the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I just lay it on there.
Yeah, so what I like to do in this case is I'll peel away the entire sticky. I just lay the hoop down on my grid, and it's, you know, all squared up
right.
on the grid. And then I lay down my webbing along the edge of one of those lines just to make sure everything's, you know, parallel, perpendicular,
well,
square.
I'm lining it up. I'm eyeballing it, but I'm lining it up using the edge of my hoop and going, okay,
yeah,
that's about that far away from it now. Okay,
it's totally possible to do. Yes,
and you know, then I'm ready for my embroidery. I have to center it or move. You know, I have to move my motif, right?
Yeah, and
to make sure that I've got it centered or whatever.
Yeah, I want to talk about this a little bit. We have the Destiny with the camera. We don't have the Solaris with the projector, but we have like super advanced embroidery machine. However, you don't really need that for this. You don't. If you've got
my thought was, oh my gosh, I have to get out a sticker. I'd have to do all of this. This is not this hard.
You don't have to use a sticker with the camera.
Don't?
No, it can just scan your hoop, and then you can like, yeah, because I hate the stickers. I'm terrible. And well, when I learned about the stickers, I became a little bit more of a sticker fan, but I'm not a huge sticker fan.
Okay. Well, what I thought is, I really don't need a camera this. All I need to do is trace the outline of the motif, which is a function on almost every machine that I know of. Right?
Because it's just, you just have to make sure
right.
it's square.
And I had my center point and I had my lower point.
Mm-hmm.
And I can send, you know, my machine, my needle to hover over both of those points, right? So that was the quickest for me.
Yeah.
You know, now, had I been doing something where I was on, like, the hem of a curved dress and my motif was curved or something, you know, there's all different reasons. Okay, or there might have been a button or a snap in the way that I wanted to make sure I got around. Then I would have used my camera.
Right.
But this was just a flat piece of webbing. I knew where I needed the bottom and the middle of my motif to rest.
Yeah, the camera is good when you're dealing with some kind of negative space and not all rectangles.
Right.
So if you can think about your project in terms of rectangles, you're probably good with perimeter trace. And the one thing that you may, if you're shopping for an embroidery machine in the entry level, so this is where that kind of step up from the, I think it's the Verve to the, gosh, I don't know what it's called now, used to be called like the Allure Plus. So like the Verve, all it can do is trace the rectangle and then I think show you like the starting point. Whereas when you go up a step, you get that kind of 9-point reference. So it'll show you upper left, upper right, lower left, center left, center top, center
bottom.
Right, center bottom, and center. And so that's kind of nice, especially on like your towels. Gail just posted some towels. When I do a towel, I'll just do bottom center and then go all the way down.
That's what I do.
And that's kind of nice. And that's what you can definitely do that on the Destiny. So when you are, but when you're down in that, kind of entry level to mid level, that can be a feature that you don't always think about because a lot of times you're just thinking about hoop size that you may want to explore is how can I place designs with this machine? That's a good question to ask your dealer. So.
The other decision I had to make here is did I want to use a topping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this webbing was very flat.
Not
very non-textured.
Textured.
Right, right. And I thought, I think I'm okay. And with the you know, I chose alphabets that were, you know, I don't know if I want to say dense as much as, but had good coverage.
Also.
And they weren't skinny.
Yeah,
you know, they were fat enough.
And they were the size you wanted them kind of out the gate?
They were.
Okay.
Both of them on the large size were pretty good. I had to narrow up, I believe, the D.
So this is...
On both of them. The D was a little... And it was no problem because my machine would narrow without, you know, taking out the height.
Yeah, you're... And the Destiny also, I think it recalculates stitches.
It did.
Okay.
I mean, the stitches did change for me.
Yeah, so that's something you won't get on entry-level machines is it won't recalculate
the stitches. Well, and I also, you know, it had the choice of small, medium, or large.
Size letters.
Letter. And I picked the size that was appropriate, which happened to be the large. Now, I could have used smaller ones, but I wanted the, you know, this is supposed to be easy to see for me.
So I just want to say, if you're working on an entry-level or a mid-level, start out with the letter size that's closest to what you want to be the final.
And that's, I think you do that on every machine.
Yeah, no, for yeah. sure, for sure. Yeah. No, I wouldn't go willy-nilly, even if the Destiny is like, right. I re-digitize it for you, you know.
Right.
So, okay, and then you stitched, and then you were confronted with your monster ball of lint.
Right.
And then you fixed it.
And then I took the machine apart, and I sent Mallory a guilt photo.
A guilt photo.
Which...
I guess I was. That was
okay.
Niagara
that was
Falls.
On her part. She decided it was a guilt photo. I
You're
did
right.
not. I
only
that was
you
just,
get to decide how you react. To
that's right. That's how
right?
she reacted. Yes. If I was a therapist, I would say, "Now, Mallory, that's how you interpreted it." You know, your mother didn't okay. say, "Look, this so is a guilt photo."
I should have responded and been like, "Is this supposed to make me feel guilty?" We should have done.
I thought you would laugh. I thought it would like be like a joke.
Well, that was the night that Jerome, after 10 days of vacation, finally puked.
Decided to puke.
Finally puked.
Okay.
And the Destiny puked
And how
too.
Would I have known that?
No, no, no. It was,
you didn't tell me that before I said
the
that.
The Destiny puked yeah. and Jerome puked.
The Destiny and Jerome both had internal upsets.
He was so good. Jerome's a big puker, everybody. And he chugged down two things of chocolate milk at dinner, and then yeah. we were in the room. They said they wanted candy, and I gave them. I was like, "You can have this much candy." And Jerome was like, "My tummy doesn't feel good. I'm going to throw up." And it took him to the toilet. It was mess-free. It was amazing. I was so proud of him.
Shut it right
great,
down.
Great
gone,
job.
Huh? Okay.
Great job, Jerome.
This is
scapula.
Not, this, and the, I should announce, this is not a tangent, right? Okay.
Got a scapula tangent.
Okay. Jerome has served us well.
Yes,
in this,
thanks, Jerome.
In this podcast.
So you didn't use a topping. What if you had started stitching and you're like, this doesn't look so great?
I believe I could have backed up on my stitching, right? Used yep. my little negative sign with the needle.
Or just start over at the beginning. Yeah,
right.
Well,
but what if I had a few threads on it? Like I wouldn't even take yeah. them out. I would have
That's
just
right.
and then I would have just yeah started or start go to the beginning, and I would have slapped down a little square of
topping
and done it. Now, what did I do for the next one?
Did what I, did you do for the next?
Did
one?
Did I go through this entire process?
I don't think so.
I did not.
You were economical with the placement of your first piece of webbing.
That's right. So
then.
So what I did is I just cut. So now I have, you know, this stabilizer hooped, and it's got a little hole in it that kind of looks like a J, right? Because
oh,
I've pulled it. Pulled.
Oh, so you? I just would have left it in there. Could you have left it in there? Was there enough
I had
space?
Too much jacket.
Too
I would
much.
Have had like two jackets.
Too much.
You know, I wanted this jacket.
It was
know.
Too much. Right. Okay.
I mean, I felt better. You know,
sure.
I'm not even sure I could have done it because mm-hmm. of the way that it's on the collar.
Yeah, it's a judgment yeah. call for yeah. sure. But so you had a little J
I would have
hole.
Rather. So I had a little J hole.
J stencil right. there.
So I cut a little square that was out of my stabilizer that would encompass that J,
mm-hmm.
right? And I slapped it right down on that hole with the...
sticky.
Well... I did no. It uses the sticky that's in on there,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
right? I slapped it down on the hole with the wax paper up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Because then I just peel the wax paper
wax
off,
paper away.
And it's stuck because that's sticky stabilizer that you put
so
it on.
So that's called patching stabilizer,
yes.
and that is like, don't do it like more than I don't know 2 times. Okay, everybody, don't like. Patch,
right.
Patch,
don't
patch,
go
patch,
patch, patch. Right. Okay.
Don't sharpen your needles.
So
okay.
I put that right over that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Good idea.
Okay. And I got my D for Jerry down here.
Uh-huh.
Right. So basically, then I went to the ZD. I chose a different font, and I used my signature color, and that is also.
The So Here
signature color.
Is it green or blue?
It's teal.
Okay.
Which is a mixture of both.
Great.
And that is also Tova's.
Is that her signature color?
Her signature color also. Okay. So what I did that time was, yes, I peeled off. This is why I only peel off part of the topping, Mallory.
Yeah.
Because I'm fooling around with it,
okay.
right? And I don't want it to get dusty
Good
and less
idea.
Sticky, right? So now I peel off the other half or the other side, and that's where the ZD got stitched.
Right.
So my name and my initials are the same, ZD.
Yeah.
So anyway, then I was done and I was accomplished. And it came out dead on balls accurate. Okay. Like both of them. And it's like, you know, I didn't try this on, but I wanted it to sort of lay on the scapula. Like, so if you're, and we'll put pictures, I guess, in the podcast on the, but I was like, oh, I'm so impressive with this. And I didn't even know what I was doing. But
yeah,
despite all the filth in our machine.
I just want to point out, so you used the 5x7.
Right.
And the 4x4?
No.
Or just the 5?
No, I just used this one, the smaller one.
This one?
It was 5x7.
This is 4x4.
It looks bigger.
That's 5x7.
Than 4 inches.
Well, yeah, it's bigger than 4 inches. Yeah. It's called foot room or whatever, right?
So what you do when you embroider is you always use the smallest possible hoop. Now, had this just been straps?
Yeah, that's
okay,
what I wanted to talk about.
Not hooked onto something, right? Mm-hmm. Not already, you know, affixed to something that can find me in their movement or something, I would have laid down the strap and I would lay down the other strap. At the exact same time, I would have laid them next to each other and then I would have embroidered one and then I would have embroidered the other. That's why you took off all of it.
Yeah, so,
right.
So I...
But I knew I was going to have to do this in those stages.
Yeah, good strategizing there. You know, it's going to be different for every project. So when I was doing, like, whatever, 16 key fobs for Christmas, I hooped up a big old piece of sticky
in a larger hoop,
maybe like an 8x8 or something. And this is, I think sometimes people don't realize maybe that's a context for a larger hoop.
Yes.
So obviously the straps are small things, but it was really nice to have the big hoop in order to do multiple at the same time. And so with that, everybody was different. It was like I was using gold strapping, and then I was using green thread, and I was using pink, and then blue, and blah, 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 all that. So I hooped it up, and I did sort of like lay one down, embroider, took the hoop out, did not touch the stabilizer or the strapping, put another strap down, do it again, you know, because maybe I hadn't planned it all out ahead of time or something like
that. Or you could have ahead of time went strap, 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 strap on your hoop and put it in.
Yeah, I think if there are too many, though, I wouldn't do that.
Again, it depends on how long are the straps. Are they going to encumber something?
Are they going to get in the way? Are they going to get bumped?
Now, do you remember here, let's see if we remember this the same way, too. When we made Frank's studio curtains and we made 5,000 buttonholes on the top of these curtains to hang, and we hung them with like shower curtain rings.
Right.
Okay. And so we had all of these buttonholes to make. And what we did is we embroidered the buttonholes.
Yep.
And we got a big hoop with sticky.
Yep.
I believe we also put some tearaway behind it because it was pretty fine fabric. I don't know, but
I don't remember.
I think
that.
We did. Just thinking the fabric was kind of, you know, fine. And we marked where we wanted these buttonholes, and then we took the top of that curtain and we placed one down and we stitched it. And then it stopped. Then we took the other one and placed the other one down. So we wound up with this curtain like on this hoop. It looked like it was almost gathered on this hoop.
Yeah, it was pleated.
Pleated, right. Because all these buttonholes were done on this hoop. But it was so freaking efficient.
You really blew my mind with that because you created a guideline in the software to show us where to line up the buttonholes and everything. I think we've done a blog post on this a million years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's Lisa's studio. New studio.
New studio person. But what I'm saying is, I think what I'm trying to illustrate is these techniques, think about something you've done before, or how is this similar to something else? How does it work? You know, do I really have to, like, you know, do more of the manual buttonhole that's on the machine? Or wait, these are going to come out absolutely perfect on this slick, fine
embroidered
fabric.
Buttonholes.
Yes.
Okay, once again, if you have an entry-level machine, you're like, oh, I don't I can't do embroidered buttonholes. This is where software can come in handy.
Right.
Now, I am not as well-versed in the levels and pricing of software as I used to be.
I also think that you can buy buttonholes.
That's what I'm saying. So hold on.
Right.
So you can get a fairly basic software, purchase buttonhole designs from someone and use those. And, you know, we used to sell...
And there are buttonhole designs that are... you know, embellished.
Oh, right.
They're really pretty.
From simple to complex. Right. You can embroider the buttonhole on your jeans.
Yes.
And it will turn out better
It's a lot of the time.
Because
it's just like applique.
Yeah.
I am a really good freehand appliqueer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can make, but... there is nothing like an embroidery machine corner that can applique a satin stitch.
Yep.
It's just, it's you know, the computer is programmed and
so
it puts it in the right place.
You can get, we used to sell like the Sophia to people and it was around $700-ish. And then we had a pretty basic monogramming program and it was under $200. You know, and that would really empower people
absolutely
to do so much with the entry-level embroidery machine. And so anyway, I wish people have been asking for us to do kind of an episode on embroidery softwares, and I just need to look at some of what's available because I know what embroidery softwares can do.
And it changes so quickly.
But I'd love to be a little bit more up-to-date on the levels and the pricing, and you know what? It's only gotten less expensive.
Because R&D has been done and, you know, there's more out there. It's more competitive.
This is the type
of
thing.
We used to pay $5,000 for an embroidery program.
This is the type of thing that
it was
gotten...
the same way with, and also embroidery machines.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically an entry-level machine that you would get today that embroiders, you know, in 1998-ish or something, or even earlier, 1995, would have cost $5,000.
Yeah, so you know, $5,000 machine in 1995, what's that today?
Right.
And then it's $600 today, it's $700 today. So yes, that's something that can be very useful. All right, well, I think that we'll just pop a couple pictures of these.
And we wore our jackets this week, and someone actually noticed mine.
Oh, yeah.
And said, what did they say? They said, oh, I didn't know you went by your initials. That's what they said. And I said, well, I don't really, but, you know, they are the same as my name.
Yes.
So, anyway, I was paddleboarding with my dog.
What was I going to say about you in the lake? And I don't know. Anyway, I was going to say something smart.
Well, there will be more sewing episodes about me in the lake and the
you
boat
and the pod,
or the paddleboard and the dog
and the boat.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yes.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.